This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. All right, God is good, isn't he? All the time. He's so good, he's so kind, he's such a good father. He knows what we need even before we know it. That's so good. And he goes before us and he prepares it for us and lays it all out for us to just walk on into and pick up. He's good. And I feel like he's done that for me this morning. And I hope that he does that for you as I share what is on my heart to share with you this morning. Last week in the newsletter, I put a quote from Andrew Murray. I don't know if anybody has that still. And it's really, there was just one... the whole thing inspired me, actually, and I probably at the time I put it in didn't realise how much it was still going to inspire me through the week. There was one sentence in particular that really stood out to me, and it says, he's talking about only believe, and, you know, and about our faith, and I'm sure you could go back and read the whole thing, but there's one sentence that says, consider quietly how impossible it is for God to lie. So I've been considering quietly, as best as I do quiet, how impossible it is for God to lie. Then just not long after that, maybe on Monday it might have been, or it might have even been on last Sunday, a friend sent me an email that was so good. And just one line of that says, I just wanted to remind you that you're loved by the great I am. What an unbelievable God has us in his care. And I think that just inspired me to share what I want to share with you this morning, how impossible it is for God to lie and that we are loved by the great I am. So this morning I want to have a look at, I'm going to try and rub my head and pat my tummy and do all this morning. Let's see how I go. Have we? There, yeah. Can you see that? We're going to talk about God. Good? Okay. We're going to talk about God and his attributes this morning. Now, a lot of the information, and I feel a little bit, I feel a lot underqualified with just some people that are sitting in the congregation this morning, but that's okay. A lot of this information will come from The Foundations of Christian Doctrine by Kevin Connor. So I know there's a lot of people who have studied a lot of Kevin Connor's works and will probably know this, but I hope that you're blessed by it this morning as much as I've been just reminding myself about who the great I am is, who this person is that we call Father, that we are in relationship with. So I want to just remind us of that this morning. Kevin says in his book, and this is so true, all believers need to know who they believe, what they believe, and why they believe it. Unless we know, and this is a Karen quote, this bit, unless we know and believe in the who, the what and the why really won't matter. Unless we've got the who first, the what and the why will be of no consequence. Unless we know the who. So today we're going to have a closer look at God and his attributes. Let's have a look. Essential. Essential attributes. Attributes or qualities which essentially belong to God, that make God who and what he is. These attributes can never become attributes of man, because then that would make man God. So what we're going to talk about this morning is about God and God alone, who he is. God also has moral attributes, but we're not going to look at those today because we haven't got all that much time. We might look at it later, but I'll just clarify that for you. The moral attributes are characteristics or qualities which belong to God in relation to his creatures or his creation. These attributes are also those which God intends man to possess. and thus they are called communicable attributes, holiness, righteousness, love, which includes goodness, grace, mercy, compassion, kindness, and faithfulness. So they're the things that we can possess, and God wants us to become more like him. Okay, you ready to get into it? We're going to look at the first essential attribute, and that is that God is eternal. God is eternal. I just have to put this microphone down for a minute. I'm back to old school paper. That's good, isn't it? Just not sure how to use it anymore. That's okay. Okay, and we're going to have a lot of scripture today, and these are just a few that just to give you the example, but God is eternal. The first one we're going to look at is Psalm 90. And I'm going to read Psalm 90 verses 1 to 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is eternal. Genesis 1:1. This sort of says it, doesn't it? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The high and lofty one inhabits eternity. God is eternal. These essential attributes are things that can never change, ever. They will never change. They remain the same. God is eternal. And Revelation 1:4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Or him which is time present, which was time past, and which is to come, time future. He's been with us from eternity past, right now, and to eternity forever. Everlasting to everlasting. Eternal signifies having no beginning or end. God is everlasting. He has always been there. He will always be there. There never was and there never will be a time when God was not or is not. So for a world that says that God is irrelevant, that God is old-fashioned, that God doesn't move with the times, God is the God of eternity. He is eternal. And we'll see towards the end of this just what all this means for us. I want you to think, as I'm speaking and reminding you of these attributes of God, think of all the promises he's ever spoken to you. Think about all the things you've ever read in his word that he says are for you. It doesn't change. All right, the next attribute we're going to look at is God is self-existent. God exists in and from himself. He is the reason for his own existence. He does not owe his existence to any other, nor does he depend on anyone or anything else to sustain it. He is the I am, the self-sufficient one. God is the source of all life. Because of this quality of God's being, he is absolutely independent of everything outside of himself. He doesn't rely on anyone or anything else for anything. God is self-existent. Exodus 3:14 says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Whenever I read I am in the Bible, I think about all the I ams that God is to me. I am your rock. I am your refuge. I am your shield. I am the lover of your soul. I am your healer. I am your peace. I am your joy. I am your provider. I am the source of your life. I am everything that you need. God is self-existent. He never runs out of anything. He never reaches down into the bottom of the bag and it's empty because he's not reliant on anything else. God is self-existent. John 5:26 says, "The Father God has life in himself. He also has given the Son to have life in himself. Because as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, our triune one God, all have the same characteristics, the same heart, the same mind, our one God. The Father God has life in himself. He has also given the Son to have life in himself." John 1:4, "In him is life." And the last scripture for this one is Psalm 36:9. And I'm going to read from verse 5. "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." God is self-existent. Immutable. Has everybody before? It's not one we use much in our vernacular now. When we speak of God's immutability, we mean that God is unchanged and unchangeable. His character and being are unchanged and unchangeable. The laws of God's being are eternal and unchanging. In all of the perfections of his character, God can never change. The fact that God is love is never going to change. The fact that God is faithful is never going to change. A circumstance can't change it. A person can't change it. Nothing can change these things. Nothing can change these things about God. Even God can't change these things about himself. He has, in a way, limited himself to his own laws and his attributes. He can't change them. He can't not be faithful. He can't not be just or merciful or kind or good. Though God's actions in dealing with man may vary and change, we know that. God doesn't always deal with us the same way. He doesn't always say the same thing to us. In every circumstance isn't the same. But he doesn't change. God, in his essential and moral attributes, never change. He is eternally the same. Man, however, can change and has to change. Man must change to be what God intends him to be. So let's have a look at some scripture. James 1:17. I'm going to read verses 16 to 18. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Don't be deceived, church. "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits in his creatures. God is the Father of lights, and there is no variableness nor shadow of turning with him." He is immutable, unchanging. Let's have a look. Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." I love the way the Bible, that you don't have to be a mastermind to work that out, right? Thank goodness. Thank you, God, that you make the scripture for us to understand. I can read that. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's simple. He doesn't change. What have we got? Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Everyone understand that? I am the Lord, I change not. What does he speak of? He doesn't change, therefore he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his mind about something. He doesn't give something and take it back. God is unchangeable in his character. And the last one for this immutable, Hebrews 6, 17 to 18. And I'm going to read right through to verse 20. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, which is who? Right, that's you. Put your name in there. God determining to show you more abundantly the immutability or the unchangingness of his counsel. He confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us. Even Jesus, having become the high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. That's talking about you and I. God is immutable. He cannot lie. His word, if he has given his word, it is so. And that is the anchor for our soul. That has to be the anchor for my soul. My soul has wanted to become unhinged. Has yours ever wanted to do that? Unhook itself and just go off. But God won't let that happen because he is unchangeable. I change all the time. My emotions, my mind changes all the time. Depends on the weather, the circumstance, whether I'm hungry or sad or tired or all of those things. God never changes. He is so reliable. This hope we have is an anchor for our soul. If you need an anchor for your soul today, if it feels like something is just dragging you away, you have an anchor, and it is God, unchangeable, unchanging, steadfast, sure. God is immutable. God is omnipotent. Everybody heard of that? I had to practice these words right. God is omnipotent, and it means that God is all-powerful. Nothing is impossible with God. I know that we can say these things so they roll off our tongues like such a habit sometimes, and that's good. We should know them, but what did Andrew Murray say? Consider quietly about what you're saying, how impossible it is for God to lie. Consider quietly what it means for you right now this morning that God is all-powerful. Nothing is impossible with God. That is nothing that would be consistent with his holy nature and his character and his being. God has the power to do what he wills, yet his power is under the control of his holy and wise will. God's given himself like a... Not that he needs it. It's like he's giving himself an accountability to himself. Omnipotence also involves the sovereignty of God. Revelation 9:6. Let's have a look at some scriptures about God's omnipotence. Okay. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. Revelation 9:6. Job 42:2. We had a word this morning about Job. Job 42:1-2. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. I want to tell you this morning, church, and remind you, remind my own heart, remind myself, I know that you can do everything, God. And that will never change. There will never become something that's too hard, that's too big, too great, too insurmountable for God. It never can happen. His omnipotence, he's all-powerful. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." How many times do we look at something and say, "That's impossible"? That's impossible. God says, "With me, all things are possible." I think we need to, I'm talking to myself as much as I'm encouraging you today to watch how we say things. There's nothing wrong with saying and admitting that looks impossible to me. With in my humanness, that is impossible, because that's the truth. There's no point walking around thinking otherwise. The truth is sometimes things, a lot of the time, they're impossible for us, but it's not leaving it there. But the truth is, with God, all things are possible. And the last one for this is Psalm 33:9. And I'm going to read Psalm 33, verses 1 to 9. "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy, for the word of the Lord is right. And all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all of the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." All-powerful God. All-powerful God. He commanded, and it stood fast. All right. We're going to move on to... Omniscient means that God is all-knowing. He knows all things at all times. Right now, right where you're sitting, he knows what you did this morning. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you're going to think in a few minutes' time. He knows what you'll do this afternoon. He knows all things at all times. He knows all things within himself, in the universe, in all creatures. Whether things be past, present, or future, God knows them all perfectly. There is nothing that he does not know and has not known from eternity. God's knowledge is absolute and unacquired. He never has to learn anything. How many times have you tried to teach God something or tell him something that he might not know? "But God, did you know about that?" I've done that. God knows all things. Man can never tell God anything about himself that God doesn't already know. When God asked Adam in the garden, "Where are you?" it wasn't because he didn't know where he was. He wanted Adam to know where he was. God knew where he was and what he had done, but he needed Adam to see that and know that. Omniscience makes God infallible. He is incapable of error. Have you thought of God is incapable of making a mistake? How many times have we attributed a mistake to God? "Oh, well, this must be plan B then, God, because the first time didn't work or wasn't right, or you didn't know about that thing that came up that, you know, put a little spanner in the works." He knows everything, and he's incapable of making a mistake. And God's omniscience qualifies him to be the judge of all of us. He is qualified to be our judge. Let's look at some scriptures. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch upon the evil and upon the good. I'm just going to skip to the next one. Psalm 147, verse 5. God's understanding is infinite. Let me read you verses 1 to 5. Praise the Lord. How many times have we heard that this morning? Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of stars. He calls them by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. There is no end to his understanding. Are you remembering, just putting, running through your mind all the things that God has spoken to you, all the situations that are happening in your life right now, all the needs that you have, all the prayers that you've been praying? This is who we're praying to. This is our God. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God is all-knowing. Our God is a good God. Omnipresent. Omniscience means that God is present all the time. He is unlimited by space or time. He is everywhere present at all times. He is everywhere. Omnipresence also involves the immensity of God. That means that he is beyond space. He's not limited by space or time. Our minds have a hard time comprehending that because we're limited to time. We have a beginning and an end. And everything we do in our life has a beginning and an end. Our day has a beginning and an end. Our meals have a beginning and an end. Our work has a beginning and an end. A book, a conversation, all, but God does, there is no end and there is no beginning and there is no end. He was, he is to come. He is everywhere all the time. Jesus said, it's far better for you that I go away, because then I can send the Holy Spirit, who will be with you all the time, everywhere, all of you. Psalm 139. Verses 7 to 12. O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar away. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. I just want to stop. I'm going to read that again in a minute. Some of you have heard this. I was reading to my granddaughter last week, and she's just turned 6, and of course that means she knows everything. And she's used to, up until now, reading books with pictures in it, right? You sit down and you read a book and it's got a picture and it explains the story. But now she's progressing to chapter books where there are no pictures. So I was reading Heidi to her last week, and I said to Eva, you need to close your eyes while I'm reading and imagine with your mind imagine that picture. And I think that's good for us to do. God has written this to us. He's talking about you. So I want you to close your eyes and I want you to imagine with your mind, with your spirit, July that God has given you. He's saying this to you. I've searched you and I know you. I know you're sitting down and you're rising up. I understand your thoughts from afar off. I comprehend your path and you're lying down, and I'm acquainted with all your ways. There is not a word on your tongue that I don't know altogether. I have hedged you behind and before, and I've laid my hand upon you. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, God. It's too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall surely lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light around me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. There is nowhere where man can flee from the presence of the Lord. There is nowhere that you can go that God doesn't see you and hold you and have you and cover you. There is nowhere that you can go that's too far away for him to reach out with his mighty right arm. Omnipresent God. Jeremiah 23:24. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? That's what God says about himself. You can't hide from me, good or bad. Isaiah 6:3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The whole earth is filled with God's glory. Last one for this, 2 Chronicles 6:18. Heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain God. This is David writing in 2 Chronicles when he's building the temple. But will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built. Heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain our God. Church, our God is eternal. He is self-existent. He is immutable, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And I don't know how you feel today, but that's true no matter what you feel. So let's speak truth into our lives. The truth is, this is our God. This is who we call Father. This is our God who invites us to come boldly before his throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help us when we need it most. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God, the great I am, the source of all life, unmovable, unshakable, unchangeable, all power. Nothing is impossible with him. He knows all. He sees all. He's infallible, always present, everywhere, at all times, our God. And I don't know about you, but I needed reminding of that this week. And it doesn't matter how we feel, because that's the truth. He cannot lie. He cannot make a mistake. His love never fails. And each one of us sitting in this room this morning call him Father. You can know everything there is to know about the Bible. But until you know that, until you know God and his attributes, it won't matter. It'll just be knowledge. I hope God's encouraged you this morning. And I want you to continue to encourage each other and remind each other and spur each other on. It's okay, because this is who our Father is, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere, all the time. Will you stand with me and let me pray for us? Father, thank you for who you are. And I thank you that that will never change. And I thank you also, God, that you have revealed yourself to us, because it is too much for us to comprehend. That you, the creator of the universe, who knows everything and sees everything and isn't relying or reliant on anybody else, but you choose to be in relationship with us, and your heart reaches out to us. You gave your one and only Son so that we could believe in you and we could know this truth about you and we could come to you and be restored to you. That is too great for our minds to comprehend. God, we believe. Help our unbelief. Help us to see the truth of who you are in our lives, in every situation, every day, in the everydayness of our lives. Because you've said that you see us when we get up, you see us when we sit down, you see us when we lay down at night. You're watching over us, God, and you are a great and mighty God, and we love you. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.